We will never fully understand the Christian life until we first understand grace. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell helps us understand not just what grace is, but how to experience it.
And listen, our forefathers got it right when they said, the Bible is the best of books. And ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is infallible. It is inerrant. It is preserved. It is trustworthy. It is tried. It is true. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And you can trust the Word of God. Meditate in the Word of God.
Life is full of opportunities to make mistakes, occasions to feel guilty, and the pressure to be self-sufficient. But this isn't how God intended the Christian life to be. In our series, Portraits of Grace, we will discover what it means to receive a second chance from the Lord. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today, we will learn more about Bible characters who were portraits of God's amazing grace. No matter your circumstance, God's sustaining grace will help you when you need it the most. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Grace to Go On.
Through the difficult times, God called a dedicated man, a man that was willing, a man that was involved, a man that had faith, a man that was a servant. And I tell you this morning, God is looking for Joshuas in this generation. Then notice it was a difficult time, a dedicated man, but there was a directed purpose that was given to him. Notice in verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. God said, Joshua, as a military general, here are your marching orders. He said, I want you to go over into this land that has been given. And ladies and gentlemen, we have been given our marching orders. And our marching orders have also come from God. They have come from the captain of our host. They have come from who we say is our Lord. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he has given us our marching orders. And they may be found in Matthew's gospel, chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And lo, I am with you always, Jesus said, and we're to teach them to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded us. Our Lord Jesus Christ has given us our marching orders, our purpose as a church. And someone might say, boy, Pastor Chappell's always emphasizing missionaries and always emphasizing knocking on doors and always emphasizing getting the gospel out. And when is that going to stop? It's never going to stop as long as we're obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. These are not suggestions. Jesus said, I command you to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. My responsibility is not to lower the standard of our Lord. It's to hold the standard high. Jesus is the one who told us, I have a purpose for you. And for Joshua, he was to claim the land. But for us, we are to claim this valley, this area, and our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we must remember our calling. Why are we here? What has God called us to do? God didn't call Joshua to sit on the bench and complain. God called Joshua to make leadership happen. And God has called us to reach our community with the gospel of the Jesus Christ. And I say to you this morning, every time you fill out a tithe check, you ought to say, thank God I'm a part of a soul-winning church getting the gospel out. Amen. Every time we're singing with the choir, we ought to say, sing it, choir. And every time the altar call is given, you ought to be praying, Lord, help somebody else to come and know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Why? That's our purpose. Our purpose is to throw the net of the gospel and see people come to Jesus Christ. But notice, secondly, not only did Joshua have a calling, but we must secondly remember God's provision. Sometimes when it comes to this calling, we might feel like, how can we do these things? But notice what the Bible says in verse 3. God speaking to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now, one thing we want to remember is that with God's calling comes God's enabling. Would you say that with me? With God's calling comes God's where God guides, he provides. God says, now, Joshua, I'm not going to call you without providing for you. And God's not going to ask you to teach a class or sing in the choir or begin involved in tithing. He's not going to call you to do something without enabling you to do it. And here he says, now, here's what I want you to know. I've already provided you with the land, Joshua. I want you to know that I've provided you with a place. And notice that in verse 4, this land. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even under the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. So God says, Joshua, I have promised you the same land that I promised Abraham. Over 300,000 miles of land I have given to you. All of these square miles. In Genesis chapter 12, we refer to it as the Abrahamic covenant. Here in Genesis 13, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And you must recognize what the Bible says. God says, I will bless those that bless thee. I will curse those that curse thee. God says, I will bless a land that honors my people and the promise that I've made unto them. And I just am so thankful this morning that we got that one right. You see, the Bible is very clear concerning the land. But if you go back to that map for just a minute, I want to show you something on the land. You'll notice that the children of Israel never claimed more than about 10% of what God had promised to them. And that's very typical of the Christian life, because many of us have never claimed the promises God has for us. What does God really want to do with your family and your children? What does God really want to do with your business? How does God really want to use your testimony? How does God want to use this church for his honor and glory? I don't believe we've yet to see the potential tapped on what God wants to do. If enough Joshuas would raise up and say, Lord, use me to be a soul winner. Use me to be a godly man of God. Oh, how I challenge you tonight to be that Joshua this morning, to be that Mrs. Joshua, that faithful servant. God says, with my calling comes my enabling. God says, I'm going to give you the land. But notice, secondly, he says, I'm going to give you the protection that you need. Joshua, I'm going to protect you in this battle. Most of you know the story that if Joshua was going to go into the promised land, he's going to have to fight the seven nations of the Canaanites. He has to go to Jericho first. I've been to Jericho. I've seen the foundations of that city. Even after all these thousands of years later, you can still see the huge foundations of that city upon which the walls fell. And God says, Joshua, I will be there with you. Notice, if you would, in verse 5, he says, there shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Boy, we can't stand around and say, well, you know, God was with George Washington and God was with this pastor and God bless that generation. What we're going to do is trust that God will protect us in this generation. I think it probably looked a little hopeless in 1776. Thank God some men had faith. It probably was a little hopeless back in the days of Joshua. Thank God that he had faith in the Lord. And God says in verse 5, I'm going to stand before you. We're going to defeat those nations of the Canaanites. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. John Adams simply wrote, it must be felt that there is no national security but in the nation's humble, acknowledged dependence upon God and his overruling providence. Listen, today, we need to keep our confidence in the Lord himself. This is what Joshua was commanded also. So he had the provision of the land, and he had the provision of God's protection over him. But notice, thirdly, he had the provision of God's presence in his life. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Now, folks, mark that in your Bible. God says, Joshua, I will be with you. He says that to all of us in Matthew 28. Lo, I am with you always. I'm going to be there with you. He says, Joshua, when you go into those battles, I'll be there. Some of you are going to go to a workplace where they make fun of you, or you feel like they might want to get you fired. And some of you are going to have a neighbor that bothers you. And some of you are going to try to witness to somebody that rebuffs you. God says, hey, I'm going to be standing with you every single step of the way. I will never leave you. Notice what the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You see, friends, today the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And if God is going to lead you into a circumstance or a situation, then if God brought you to it, God can bring you through it, and he'll be with with you every single step of the way. And we don't need any more timid Christians. We don't need to watch as the unbelievers and the wicked and the defiled march the streets of America. It's time that we took the gospel back to the streets. It's time that we stood up like Joshua did and proudly served and fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, well, I don't believe in fighting. I'm not talking about physical battle. I'm talking about spiritually standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ. God called our family to Lancaster Baptist Church, and we stepped out by faith. There was no salary. There was no medical. I didn't get to choose if I was going to do the janitorial or the youth or the music. I didn't have anyone to go say, I don't want to do the music. I did it all, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, the music was really good back then, too. And by faith, we came down to this city of Lancaster, and we just trusted the Lord to provide. And by faith, we believed that He would go with us, and we had the courage to begin knocking on doors. And I'm just here to testify to you that God can still do great and mighty works. I just want our church to remember God is able, God is still able, and there are great victories still to be won and great opportunities still ahead of us if we'll keep the spirit of Joshua. This isn't the time to slowly kind of backslide. Hey, this is the time to get to God's house and open the Word of God and sing and pray and trust and believe. And so here we see Joshua, a man who had to remember God's calling, and he had to remember God would provide for him. And if there are a few things in life that I know, one that I know for sure is that I'm saved, and secondly, that God has called me, and thirdly, that God has called me to the Lancaster Baptist Church, and fourthly, that God has provided for us every step of the way. Hey, we serve a good God and a great God, and He'll not let us down if we'll trust in Him. God provides every step of the way. Where God guides, He provides. You say, well, man, I don't know if I could try that soul winning. I don't know if I could do that faithful giving in the summer. I don't know if I could teach a Sunday school class or be a little league coach. Listen, friend, if God puts it on your heart, He's going to help you get it done for His honor and His glory. Notice, if you would, thirdly, not only do we remember God's calling as Joshua did, not only do we remember God's provision as Joshua did, but thirdly, we have to remember God's requirements. If God is going to use you in this time of crossroads, then there are some prerequisites that we see here. And I want you to see them with me. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The first requirement of God is a courageous faith. We live in a day of pessimism. Oh, California's down the tubes. Oh, you can't raise a family. Oh, you can't build a strong church in California. You better just have a rock concert and tell the pastor to tell poetry and get out of there, man. Because nobody wants real church anymore. Oh, it's so bad. Everything's bad. Where are the people that will say, God can? God can bless a family. God can bless your business. God can change hearts. God can touch souls. Hey, he said, Joshua, if you're going to be the leader, if you're going to take Moses' place, you better believe that I can. You better have a strong and mighty faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Listen, it's time that we come back to a belief that God can do anything but fail. I heard about a dad that took his son to fly a kite, and son's name was Todd, and dad made the kite, got the string, got the tail ready, and finally some wind came, and he got the kite flying up there. And that little 3 or 4 year old boy, you know, he was curious about all that, and finally he saw the kite up in the sky, and he said, I knew it would fly, Daddy, because you said it would. How about some Christians who would say, I knew that would work, God, because you said it would? God, you said if we go out bearing precious seed and weeping, that we'll come again seeing some people saved. God, you said if we give, you'll reward us again and you'll bless us again and again. God, you said if we'll have faith, it would be pleasing to you. And here we see a man that had great faith, courageous faith. Notice, secondly, the second requirement is complete obedience. Notice, if you would, verse number 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Now, I want you to see a phrase here. I want you to see a phrase, observe to do. Let's say that together. Observe to do. The reason we study the Word of God is that we would not be hearers only, but that we would be what?
Doers.
Now, Baptists are good observers. There goes an usher. There's a choir. There's a Baptist going out soul winning. He gave a tithe. Here comes the pastor. Wonder if he'll be loud or long today. Baptists are good observers. God says, I want you to observe so that you can do. I want you to not only watch what's going on around you, I want you to observe the truth of the Word of God. Observe it so that you can then get involved, so that you can see the fruit in your own life. This is why when the Baptist pastor Robert Alamy wrote the Pledge of Allegiance, which is so hated by many in this country today, he included the phrase, under God. He knew that the only way America would be blessed is if we were under God, if we were obedient to our God. Ronald Reagan said, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. In other words, those that are wise forefathers of ours understood the principle of being a people in obedience to Almighty God. There must be complete obedience. Then notice thirdly, if God will use us, we must have courageous faith. We must have complete obedience. And thirdly, we must have continual meditation upon him. Whether it was Nehemiah building the wall, whether it was Joshua leading the people, they always were thinking about God. Notice in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, the purpose of meditation is that we would develop that obedient, ongoing walk with God. God says, I want you to think about my word. I want you to meditate on my word. Some of you need to take these notes from this message, these verses, and tomorrow read them again. Like the cow, excuse the illustration, that chews its cud and swallows it, come on now, and then brings it back up. Somebody say, I had an uncle that, never mind. All right, some of you know how the cow does that, right? The cow chews on the cud, swallows it, brings it back up, chews on it a while again. Listen, we need to learn how to meditate on God's word. Think about it. Listen to God. Think of what he's saying. George Washington once said, while we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion, to the distinguished character of patriot. It should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian. Hey, it's one thing to be a good worker where you work. It's one thing to be a good American. But he said, listen, the highest duty that we have is to be a good Christian and to continually meditate in the Word of God and think of the Word of God and love the Word of God. And so the purpose of meditation is that we would develop an obedient heart. The process of meditation, notice that, if you would, that thou mayest observe to do. God says, I want you to retain the truth of my word in your heart, that you'll keep it in your heart. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Don't let it be a Sunday morning thing and then you check out, but keep the word of God in your heart. Notice what John Jay, our first Chief Justice, said. The Bible is the best of all books, for it is the word of God and teaches us the way to be happy in this world and in the next. Nowadays, leaders are a little more politically correct, aren't they? They don't want to say the Bible's the best book. They want to say the Bible and this book by this guru guy and this piece of the Quran and this and this and this. They're all good books. But listen, our forefathers got it right when they said the Bible is the best of books. And ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is infallible. It is inerrant. It is preserved. It is trustworthy. It is tried. It is true. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And you can trust the Word of God. Meditate in the Word of God. Some of you aren't saying amen this morning. Some of you are a little tired this morning. You know why? Because you trust in HBO and CBS and NBC and all the rest of it, and it's time that you started trusting once again in the Word of God. fill your heart with it, fill your mind in it. And you show me a teenager filled with rock and roll music and filled with wicked television, they're going to fall asleep in the house of God. Hey, we've got to turn that off and turn on the Word of God. Because there's a moral decay that happens without the Bible. We've got to continually meditate in it. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not," what?
Sin against thee.
You show me a man, I don't care if he's gone to this church for 25 years. He gets out of church, he gets out of the Bible, he'll backslide quicker than you can possibly imagine. We must stay true to the word of God. Stay faithful to God's word. The purpose of meditation is that we might obey, and the process is continual. What's the product? Notice this product, verse 8. The Bible is very clear that there is a product. It says, "Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." A lot of people come to church. Hey, how can I be more prosperous? How can I be more successful? Well, you read the Word of God. You come three to thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Just get filled up with the Word of God. Think about it. Meditate on it. Be obedient to it. Be courageous with it. And as you do that, you're going to be successful. Oh, isn't there an easier way, man? Like, can I just like listen to some positive thinking tapes or something? Maybe there's like a kit that I can just buy from somebody for like $800 and 10 simple payments and be so successful. There is no shortcut to becoming a man of God. There is no shortcut to becoming a woman of God. It involves continually meditating. Someone says, "Hey, just entertain me." God's word is deeper than that. God wants us to meditate on his word. And when we do, he says, "Then I will make you prosperous and you will be blessed." And so here's a man who had the grace to go on for the Lord. How can we go on for the Lord in such a difficult day, in such a corrupt society? First, remember God's calling. You are here as his servant. He has a purpose for your life, just like Joshua. Second, remember God has a provision. With God's calling comes God's enabling. He'll be with you. And thirdly, remember that God has some requirements. He wants us to meditate in his word. He wants us to focus on him and live out a courageous faith. I'm so thankful that God has provided a way for us, and that you're not alone when you witness, and you're not alone when you serve, and that God will provide a way. May I say to you this morning, the greatest provision that God ever made for you and for me was when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sin. You see, the Bible says that we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. We're sinners and manipulators who need to get saved. All of us fall short of the glory of God. Excuse me, all of us are liars. But Jesus came and he shed his blood on the cross so that those of us with our wrong thoughts and our bad ways could come to him and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Would you save me?" And he says, "I've shed my blood already so that your sins could be forgiven." What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. That's what Jesus did. And if you've never had your debt paid, you should trust Jesus as your Savior today. And if you have had your debt paid, then be a Joshua. Stand up with courage and live for Jesus Christ, because Jesus died for you.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. That's 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.